This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Into kufr. Al-kufr, and leading someone into al-kufr is more dangerous or is more severe, is much greater than even killing an individual. Because in reality we have two types of lives. We have the spiritual life and we have the physical life. But the physical life really doesn't mean anything. In fact, not only does the physical life not mean anything, but the physical life could truly be a source of punishment in the hereafter if it is lacking that spiritual life. And that spiritual life, of course, is our iman, our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If that is being tested and tried, if that is being put at risk, this is a true crisis. This is a true crisis when the very faith of an individual, the very Islam of an individual is being put to test. So now, the obvious question is, am I exaggerating or are we at a time in which we are facing a crisis of this nature? When you look at the Muslim Ummah today, and as our Shaykh Abdullah, by the way, Abdullah, I've known him I haven't seen him in many years, but mashallah, we go way back. He doesn't really remember me, but that's okay. As I said, he's getting older, it's close to him. By the way, I was a little surprised to say that when you said your daughter has a degree in psychology, because I remember a long lecture you had about the dangers of psychology. But anyway, that's for the therapist. So, this crisis, as I said, or what I'm stating, where the very faith of Muslim individuals is at risk at this time. If you look at the Muslim Ummah, people look at the behavior of Muslims. And unfortunately, sometimes even Muslims themselves don't distinguish between the behavior of individual Muslims and what Islam is supposed to be. Because you would expect, and there is maybe some truth to this, you would expect that the truth of Islam would be reflected in his people. And when we speak about the beauty of Islam and the truth of Islam, and you don't see it anywhere, that can truly shake an individual's faith. First of all, it can make a non-Muslim not even be interested in Islam. And it can make an individual Muslim question or doubt what he sees as Islam. Whether you're talking about corruption, whether you're talking about, for example, one of the lectures that Sheikh Yasser will be giving, whether you're talking about racism within our midst, whether you're talking about terrorism or killing one another, someone could look at this and say, if this is Islam, I don't want anything to do with Islam. And for an individual, this might be a very strong argument. And we have to realize that Islam is not simply about implementing Islam, but Islam is also about understanding how to implement Islam with the goal and with the understanding that our purpose is to bring people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not drive people away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can assure you that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was worshipping and doing the proper acts in his worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yet, even with respect to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَانْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. Talking to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it is by the mercy of Allah that you were gentle and kind with them, for if you were harsh of heart, they would have fled from around you. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to him in this way, that even when we implement what is right, it's an entire picture. We have to make sure that when we implement something, we implement it in the proper way and in the proper fashion. Because we are, as I said, we are trying to bring people back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not drive people away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And unfortunately, much of what is going on today, much of the actions of Muslims is doing the opposite. So that's one aspect, the picture that we are giving, not just the, and as I said, not just the non-Muslims, actually the picture that we are giving each other, whether you're talking about on an international level or whether you're talking about within a mosque, the kind of fighting, for example, and backbiting and arguments that goes on, it puts people in a situation they don't even like to come to a mosque. The mosque should be a place where we go and we feel our iman is increasing. It should not be a place where we go and we feel that maybe even we're doing more harm to our iman. We feel like it's better if we pray at home by ourselves than attending one of the central places of our faith. But even much beyond that, there are other things that are going on besides the picture that we're giving that could shake the faith of many an individual. There are many things that are going on as a result of this or for other reasons that fall under the category or the qualities of what many of our ulama describe as nawaqid al-Islam, or the things that negate an individual's Islam. So for example, as I was describing about how we're applying Islam and the picture that we're giving Islam, and sometimes, in some cases, some attempts to apply Islam in a way maybe that people were not ready, or they were, the people doing it were not that wise in implementing Islam. It has led to, for example, people thinking that Islam is not appropriate or cannot function or does not meet the needs of human beings in the 21st century. It is something done, gone, and finished. So you see, for example, Muslims, individuals, and even communities, you see large groups of Muslims turning towards secularism. And in fact, if you mention applying the Sharia, you'll maybe get a worse response from the Muslims themselves than even what non-Muslims would say. So the idea that the Sharia is no longer to be applied, that there must be a better system than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, what the Prophet ﷺ has brought us, or even to think that we have the right basically to live by our own laws and not judge and rule according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. All of these kinds of beliefs, all of these kinds of attitudes, as I said, actually negate some of the very foundations of iman. And people are falling into it, Muslims are falling into it many times they are perhaps falling into it because they don't recognize this aspect of Islam. Or they have not been taught properly this aspect of Islam. Or as I said, what they have seen of Islam in this nature, or with respect to these aspects, is something that leads them to want to turn away from Islam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I mean, we can bring, I don't have much time, so I'm not going to get into all of the details, but we can bring plenty of proofs, plenty of evidence that we are supposed to live our lives from the individual to the mosque, to the community, to the society as a whole. We are supposed to live our lives according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ or fasiqun or zalimun. That whoever does not rule by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, then in reality those people are disbelievers, they are wrongdoers, they are, as I said, fasiqun, zalimun, and so forth. So if anyone believes that, as I said, if anyone believes that Islam is no longer proper for today, that Islam cannot be applied today, that Islam maybe was good at one time and it's no longer the guidance for human beings now, as I said, people are falling into this, people are saying it openly, and perhaps they don't even realize what a threat this is to their own iman. And this is a true crisis. This is a true crisis when people are falling into kufr. They're falling into things which are taking them out, can take them outside of the fold of Islam. And they don't even realize it. And then, along with that also, many times, you not only add that maybe at a rational level, but then that can also continue to the point where they even dislike what Islam has. One thing is not to say that Islam no longer works, doesn't quite fit. But then sometimes you go beyond that, even the main things about Islam, you get to a point where you don't even like what Islam has brought. Whether it is, for example, some of the ahkam related to marriage or divorce or clothing, hijab or even alcohol, whatever. You don't like these things that are clear from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or clear from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described this in the Quran. This is a way in which all of a person's deeds will be rendered worthless, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَرِهُ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأَحْبَطَ أَمَالُهُمْ. That is because they dislike what Allah had revealed, so Allah rendered their deeds worthless. But these things, as I said, these realities that we are seeing in different parts of the Muslim world, and which nowadays, and one of the big differences about them nowadays, is people are speaking them openly. People are saying these things openly, that they don't want the Sharia, no to the Sharia, that they don't like these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed or the things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has brought. And as I said, this is a threat to the very essence of their iman. And without a doubt, if anything is going to be described as a crisis, then this is, as I said, this is going to be a true crisis. We don't have the right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given us the right, for example, to choose what we want from Islam and to reject what we want from Islam. If we understood Islam properly and correctly, alhamdulillah, we would not fall into these kind of things. But due to lack of understanding, due to lack of education, due to outside influences, due to all sorts of maybe years of neglect, generations sometimes, of neglect, we have fallen into this kind of situation. And as I said, this is really a true crisis. Inshallah, in one of the other lectures, I'm going to talk about what is some of the most important aspects that inshallah will raise us from this situation. And I'm sure also that in some of the other lectures we'll be touching upon these kind of things as well. So my goal in this, the first night of the thing, actually is to make us understand what is meant by crisis and the reality that yes, as a ummah, as a whole, we are in a situation of crisis. As the Shaykh mentioned, the Prophet ﷺ has in his previous lecture, you know, has pointed to the fact, has told us about all of these things that will occur. But the fact that these things are occurring, or the fact that these things will occur, doesn't justify them. We still have the obligation to understand them, and understand what is wrong about them, and to do what we can, inshallah, to correct them, and to change them, and to put us back, inshallah, on the proper course, when we work, as the Shaykh had mentioned, when we work, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us. When we come back to iman and doing good deeds, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us and establish this deen again. But we have to recognize, one of the first steps is recognizing the extent of the crisis and how far we have gone and all of the things that we have to correct and bring back and inshallah instruct people about to bring them back to the path of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly. So inshallah, on that note, I will end. By the way, Yusuf, I have no idea how long I spoke. But you didn't send me any notes, so I assume I was fine, inshallah. Barakallahu fiqh. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.